From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Obama says the ongoing partisanship and gridlock in Washington are undermining the economic recovery. Speaking at a college in Illinois, Mr. Obama acknowledged that the recovery remains fragile. NPR's Craig Windham reports Republican leaders say Mr. Obama should be working with them rather than giving speeches.
The president says the main focus of his second term will be bolstering the economy and helping middle-class Americans who've not yet benefited from the recovery.
If Washington will just shake off its complacency and set aside the kind of slash-and-burn partisanship that we've just seen for way too long, if we just make some common-sense decisions, our economy will be stronger a year from now.
But House Speaker John Boehner dismissed Mr. Obama's speech as a waste of time.
It's a hollow shell. It's an Easter egg with no candy in it.
Boehner says Americans are not asking where are the speeches. They're asking where are the jobs. Craig Windham, NPR News, Washington.
In Russia today, there was another flurry of excitement over the fate of former U.S. intelligence contract worker Edward Snowden. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports that the 30-year-old fugitive remains stuck in a Moscow airport.
Some Russian media began reporting that Snowden would receive documents that would allow him to officially enter Russia. But within hours, Snowden's Russian advisor, Anatoly Kucherena, told reporters that it would take a little longer. Kucherena said the paperwork is not yet ready and that Snowden will remain in the no man's land of the airport transit area for the time being. Snowden has applied for temporary asylum in Russia. He's wanted by the United States for revealing secrets about U.S. surveillance programs. President Vladimir Putin's decision not to extradite Snowden has aggravated tensions between Russia and the United States. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.
Nearly 2 weeks after a neighborhood watch volunteer was acquitted in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, the teen's father, Tracy Martin, is appealing to lawmakers to intensify their efforts challenging racial profiling and other challenges confronting black men and boys.
To have your son's life taken away from you when you've molded him and becoming an upstanding citizen of this country is heart-wrenching. That's something that you can never get over.
Martin is speaking this hour before a congressional forum convened by African-American lawmakers. A federal judge is blocking Detroit city workers and retirees from pursuing existing lawsuits or filing new ones challenging Detroit's unprecedented bankruptcy plan. The group sued in Michigan state courts to shield their pensions. They argue that under state constitution, their pension benefits are guaranteed in full, but Detroit's emergency manager says those guarantees no longer exist in federal bankruptcy court. Before the closing bell, Dow is off 26 points. This is NPR News. The head of Egypt's military is calling on fellow Egyptians to show their support for the army and police through rallies across the country. General Abdel Fattah el-Sisi said in a speech to graduating military cadets today that mass demonstrations this Friday would give him a mandate and an order to do what's necessary, as he put it, to stop the violence in Egypt. The country has been deeply divided since the military ousted President Mohamed Morsi a few weeks ago and set up an interim government. A senior United Nations team is in Syria to investigate about a dozen reports that chemical weapons had been used in the civil war. So far, though, the investigators were only allowed access to one site, the northern village of Khan al-Asal. Both troops and rebels accuse the other of using chemical weapons in that region. In June, the U.S. said it had conclusive evidence that Assad's forces used the weapons and, as a result, might begin arming Syria's rebels. You may call Britain's newborn prince George. NPR's Philip Reeve says the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge announced their baby's name earlier today.
Kings in Britain tend to be called George. Over the last 300 years, six of nine kings have had that name, including the royal baby's great-great-grandfather, George VI, although his first name was actually Albert. The British public will likely be pleased with the royal couple's choice. George led the field in the flurry of betting over names before their son was born. His Royal Highness Prince George of Cambridge, as the boy is now officially known, has two middle names. They are Alexander Louis, the latter a nod perhaps to Lord Louis Mountbatten, Prince Charles's great uncle and mentor, who was killed by Irish Republican militants in 1979. Philip Reeves, NPR News, London.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, in Washington. Support.